Hey, everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.
Welcome to Heritage Radio Network on tour at Charleston Wine and Food 2022. It's our very first episode of the day. I'm Katie Mosman-Wadler, and I'm here with my co-host, Liza Hamm. Hi, Liza.
Hello.
And
so happy to be here.
Thank you. Me too. It's sunny. It's breezy. We're on the water for the first time at Charleston's Culinary Village. And today we are coming at you live all day. You can see the full schedule on our homepage, heritageradionetwork.org. And I'm so pleased to introduce our very first guest of Charleston Wine and Food 22, Chef Manit Chauhan. Welcome, Manit.
Woohoo! Thank you so much. Thank you for having me here.
Thank you for coming. Thanks for coming early.
Oh my God, absolutely.
Manit was just named on Open Table one of the 20 most influential female chefs and restaurateurs right now. Congratulations.
Ooh, thank you. Thank you. I still get goosebumps. I'm like, wow.
It's
that
so
really
well deserved. We think you're amazing. Oh, thank you
so
for
kind.
Joining us.
Thank you.
So let's start by talking about Charleston. How great is it to be back here?
Oh my God, Charleston. You know, every time I land in Charleston, there's something that makes me feel so happy. From the people to the food scene to, it's almost like, especially the Charleston Wine and Food Festival, it's a reunion. It seems like that's the only time we all meet, right?
So yes, true. Every
right?
year though.
We need to correct that.
We need to.
What have you been doing for the festival so far? You've already been busy.
Yes, absolutely. So yesterday we did this incredible dinner at Malika with Chef Mariam. We did... it was a salam namaste, so across the border, she's a Pakistani chef, I'm an Indian chef, and we just did this incredible dinner, which was delicious, I think it was sold out 2 days after the show, the program went up, so it was really, really popular, and then this afternoon, I have a book signing at 1:30, and then a demo after that, so I'm really excited about that.
We can all be so lucky to have your energy levels to do all of these things.
A lot of caffeine.
You have a lot of travel coming up this month, and you are on fire already. This is amazing. So can you just, since you talked about the dinner, tell us maybe your favorite. Don't pick a favorite. Just a really good bite that you had at the dinner with you and Chef Mariam.
Chef Mariam's, delicious food. She made a nihari, which is the slow-braised short rib. Delicious, like spicy and flavorful. So that was amazing. And I did a beetroot chaat. So we did, tricolor beet, and it was beautiful with chickpea pearls on it. So it was overall, it was delicious.
Is there anyone you're really excited to see here, to run into, that you haven't seen in a while?
You guys! I haven't seen you in such a long time. I think everybody, because it almost is a reunion. Because, skipping a year, you're like, okay, what's going on? But now just, it's like you walk in and you're like, oh my God, and hugging everybody. That connection of the, hospitality industry, I think we were missing that. So I'm so grateful that we can do this again.
Absolutely.
Yeah, never take this for granted. Yeah.
So true. I feel like we've traveled through time to
yes.
be here. It was like I got off the plane and it was like another world.
This was, Charleston Food and Wine 2020 was the last thing most of us did before the world changed.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So tell us a little bit, what were the last 2 years for you, like professionally and personally?
Like anybody in this industry, it was really difficult. I still remember I had just returned from Charleston, Wine and Food Festival, and we were hearing murmurs at that time. And I think it was March 16th, 17th when the whole world stopped. And it was crazy because every day we would be planning that, okay, this is what is going to be our plan of attack. Like, okay, let's put signs of washing hands for 20 minutes, ABCD. Like, we were doing all of that. But then everything just stopped. And we had to lay off 250 people. And like, especially for my husband, Vivek, and me, we spent our entire life reaching over here, and it's all gone. That did result, both of us that day when we were going home in the car, didn't speak to each other, went home. I grabbed a bottle of wine and my pillow, went to my closet, cried. And then I'm like, okay, done, out of my system. Now, how am I going to get each and every person back? And that's what it was. I also started doing a lot of these IGTV or reels, so that in my mind, I was like, I am going to try to spread whatever joy I can, because everything was so uncertain. At terms of personally, at home, got to spend a lot more time with the kids. And let me tell you, I have so much respect for all the teachers out there. If I don't have to do another math problem in my life again, I'll be happy. Yes.
It's a useful refresher, though, right? It surely comes into play in the hospitality industry.
Sure.
You look like you had so much fun doing that.
Sure.
But you took on a lot of new jobs in addition to keeping all the jobs that you had before.
Absolutely.
During this time.
Absolutely.
And tell us about Hospitality Strong.
So we have a brewery in, south of Nashville in Murfreesboro. It's on 83 acres of land. And we started figuring out, how are we going to help? And one of the biggest things that we were, we realized that the hospitality, industry was really, really hurting. So we started Hospitality Strong, which was a percentage of the beer sales, which, by the way, during COVID really went up. Just saying that. We created a label called Social Distance, and a percentage of that went towards hospitality workers. But we also started working with a lot of, at the restaurants, we started working with a lot of other companies, like large food vendors, who, there was so much stuff which was going to go waste. So literally there was a day that we had 550 pallets of fresh fruits and vegetables which showed up at our parking lot. We put it out over there and had people from all over the hospitality industry in Nashville, come on over, help yourself. To me, one of the biggest things that I thought was that nobody in the food industry should go hungry. And that was something which I was most worried about. And I kept on telling people, listen, there is no shame. Just call me and we'll take care of, all of that.
Yeah. It's amazing.
Yeah.
You just talked about injecting joy during this time. And I have been watching your reels with so much joy. They have brightened so many of my very dull weeks over this long 2 years.
Thank you.
We're going to get back into more questions about the hospitality industry and lifting people up. But just this flash of bright color and your glam stories and all of this, how did that come together? How did you start doing that? And honestly, how did you learn how to do this technology, which is still to me such a opaque system?
I still don't know how to do technology. My philosophy in life has always been, jump in the deep end and you'll figure out how to swim, which is basically what I have done. I mean, I look at some of my reels or some of my IGTV, and they are so badly produced. But I do think that there is a charm in that, because especially with my social media, I do all of it myself, because that's the way I connect with people. And that's what I did. It was crazy, because especially even with, Food Network and stuff, we were doing a lot of production from home. Mm-hmm. We would, open the door and there would be a big FedEx box, and you would open it, and then there would be a tech call, and they would have us set up everything, and then we would do it in the kitchen. And I can't tell you how much appreciation I have for, the camera guys, the sound guys, the culinary crew, everybody. It's so important. Lighting, you realize how important everybody's job is to make a show flawless. Mm-hmm. And doing it all by yourself, I'm like, oh God, no. But it was fun.
Yeah. And did you follow anybody's reels, or what brought you joy during this time when you needed a little bit of a break?
Oh, My son got us into Marvel, right, during COVID. Okay. I think we know more about Marvel than we ever wanted to know about the MCU. It is crazy. That's what our conversations are right now.
Who's your favorite superhero now?
It changes. My favorite superhero is called Karma, who is my son. But it is...
Karma is your son's name as well. Yes.
Karma is my son's name, and it is just it's amazing. But also, like, I would just go ahead and connect with people, just go and search. What I really loved was all the street food reels that you would see, and I'm like, I'm missing that. I want to get back and just do the street food thing again.
Yes. I just am laughing because right when you started talking about Marvel, we had this big drum beat behind us that started. So I think Thor, the superheroes are coming around the corner in just a second here.
Talk about Thor arriving. Last week when I was flying to Sobe, we just took off and a lightning hit our plane.
What?
Yes, and we had to turn back. It was quite an experience. It was literally an explosion.
Is that fine, Manit?
I'm here. That's good.
Oh,
but
my gosh.
But after I got over the shock of it, after we landed, had a bottle of Prosecco or two, I went home and told Karma, hey, Thor came to say hi to me. And he really wasn't as hot as he is in the Marvel movies.
Oh.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow, that is terrifying.
It was.
Like, travel is not stressful enough right now. Oh, my gosh.
That's it. Now I have, seen it all.
So, you've been traveling a lot. And we just talked about this before we got on air. For a year now, you've been, more than a year, you've been running all over, but it's really picking up now. And so things do feel like they're coming back to life. We're kind of learning to operate in new ways and, that hopefully we've tried all the pivots that had to be pivoted and now we're sort of like finding some equilibrium, right? So what like now for the folks on your team, and how are you feeling about bringing people back in, and what is the road ahead, or where are you now?
I think the one thing which I learned through this entire process was that, people keep on saying, what's next? And to me, what is next is making sure that our foundation is strong, because only then we can figure out what the next step is. And right now, that's what we are doing. So we are open for dinners, 5 days a week. Chauhan is open 7 days. We are slowly getting brunch back. Once the offices start opening, we'll start doing the lunch business again. We have started getting a lot of our team members back. So slowly and steadily, we are building that foundation back.
You're somebody who, through your career, has really nurtured other people coming up in the space and opening their own restaurants. And I just think about, the joy that I had of meeting the guys from The Mockingbird and how you've been just an incredible mentor and supported all these folks. So I'm so glad that they're coming back onto the team and that you are, going to be able to keep carrying that forward.
It's a family. Like, this is a crazy industry. You need to have a little bit of crazy in you, or a lot if it comes to me. But that being said, it's everybody. It's the family. It's the fact that I can walk into my kitchen, and be happy about it. That I can walk into the kitchen and I'm like, good morning, everyone. I actually have designated my role as being the mood lifter for everybody. And that's what I do.
Just sitting here with you, we can feel that. It's such a privilege to just be in your space. So that's incredible. And I wonder who does that for you, or who do you turn to professionally also? We've all had to figure out a lot in the last couple of years. So are there people or resources that you turn to for advice or knowledge as we navigate this changing world?
Everyone. Because, everybody gets a very unique perspective. To me, the biggest thing that I've learned is always to keep your ears open, because there is always something that you'll learn in each and every moment, like the amazing music that we are listening to right now. I'm like, I have arrived. This is my entrance music.
Yes!
Yes!
Welcome, Manit.
Thank you. But that's, I think that's the fun part about it. is my husband and I, we are business partners, Vivek and me, and we do not think alike. We are yin and yang, right? That's what it is. And we have a lot of fights about that. Like, you have no idea what you're talking about. You have no idea what you're talking about. But in the end of the day, we listen to each other. And that's amazing to have that synergy, just to be bouncing off each other.
So that foundation is strong. Are there one or two things you'd really like to see the restaurant industry adopt now?
I think one of the biggest things is to take better care of your entire team. For the longest, I mean, even when I started, you know, it was like $7 an hour, right? So I do think that to take better care of the team and to realize how important they are, because without your team, you have no business. That's it.
And that everyone Amen. Plays an integral part. Absolutely. You know, at the time, it might not seem like it, but actually, everyone is necessary in order
to me, I encourage each and every person to work on each and every station, including dishwashing. To me, the biggest thing is that if anybody in my team ever disrespects a dishwasher, I'm like, I'm sorry, you can't be a part of our team, because they work so hard. And there are times I just roll up my sleeves. I'm like, let's do this. And that's the time you appreciate. And I think appreciation of your entire team is so important.
You're here.
In addition to appreciation, what do you think that, in general, hospitality workers need the most right now?
I definitely think that training, right? There needs to be training, because more often than not, what I see is like, they are thrown into a situation and they're like, figure it out. And if we train them, then we are, you know, arming them for success. And that is important. And also the fact is, like, I always encourage my team members that I don't want you to be here with me all, you know, like forever, no matter how good you are. I want you to travel the world. I want you to work with other chefs. I want you to learn and make your repertoire stronger, right? And most of these, like, they go out and they come back. Right? It's like, and that, I think, is what makes it amazing.
It's so, like Rome Springer.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's beautiful. So what's happening with Vivek and the family in Nashville this weekend? They're holding on the fort?
I think there is Eternals in our future. Some cooking and just, I think, chilling.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen very often with me, because I'm constantly on the road. So that the chilling is, yes.
Yeah.
Nothing.
That sounds incredible.
It sounds so good.
You've been doing some, in addition to the glam reels, you've been doing some cooking content on Instagram. What's fun for you to cook right now?
You know, it's really interesting. What I'm trying to do is I'm trying to demystify, you know, Indian cooking. Everybody thinks that it's so complicated. It has got so many ingredients. So the reels that I make are just dishes that I cook at home. That's what we have for dinner. So it's nothing out there. And I'm like, okay, this is what it is. It's four spices. And you go ahead and you make it. So that is my goal, to make, like, to make people excited about cooking and not be afraid of spices.
Mm-hmm. And you've got a tray with all your spices right there. It's not like a big ordeal to go find everything. You just keep it out.
Absolutely. I mean, I can't live without my masala dabba, my spice box. I actually traveled with it. I'm going to be having that for my demo. So I'll show that around.
Oh, please post a picture.
Oh, yes, I will.
What are some of the other spices that you wish people didn't feel nervous about using? I go to the same ones time and time again. Like, I have my beautiful spice cabinet, courtesy often of what my friends at Heritage Radio have sent me at times, and yet I always sort of go back to the same one.
So I think one of the very underappreciated spices is a chaat masala. So chaat masala is predominantly dried mango powder, so it's got this wonderful tart flavor, and it's got Indian rock salt, which has a little bit of a sulfuric or a garlicky flavor to it. So it's one of my favorite spices, and I'm not saying that because my new cookbook, available everywhere cookbooks are sold. I'm just kidding. It's called Chaat. Never let an opportunity go. But it is, it's the ultimate finishing salt, right? Like you do fries, you make a salad, just finish it with chaat masala and you're in a happy place.
I didn't think I was going to be hungry again so quickly today, but I am. You've done it.
Give me a few more minutes. I'll work on that.
Amazing.
So now I think we just need to decide, are we going to see you in Nashville next time or are you going to come to New York? Which
I vote
do?
For Nashville. I
yes.
really, really, really want to go back
Nashville.
To Chauhan. I need
yes.
that pani puri in my
oh,
life.
Yes.
I need to get back there.
Oh my God, I served pani puri yesterday.
Oh,
I wish I'd gotten some over here for you. We should, I think next year for Charleston, a wine and food festival, let's have a pani puri eating competition.
Oh,
that's
yes.
such a great idea.
I will take
I
will you all down.
I will arrange that. Yes. Absolutely.
Be very afraid.
I know. My
I'm
sister
ready.
And I used to do that as kids.
Really?
We would compete. I had 12, I had 16, come home with a stomach ache and
oh,
could never
yeah,
tell our
no.
parents why.
You're all going down.
Oh, yeah.
I'm so excited. It's on.
Bring it
it's
on.
On. Okay. Well, with that, thank you so much, Manit, for joining us. This is our coverage live from Charleston Wine and Food 2022, Back Together. We're so grateful to the festival for having HRN back in the Culinary Village. This is our 6th year in a row being here. You can listen to all of our coverage on Heritage Radio Network on tour. Find it on heritageradionetwork.org or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for being here.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.
I want to tell you about a new podcast called Amuse News. Publishing multiple days a week, Amuse News is your source for food news, interviews from around the food world, and more. On the show, we'll be engaging with food storytellers, from chefs to advocates to people working in the field, and many more. Find Amuse News wherever you get your podcasts. Amuse News is a destination for everyone who's looking for a new, insightful look into the world of food.